everyone. Good to be here. Good to see everyone today. Last couple weeks this month, we've been discussing parenting, God's way of parenting, and pointing out that as we are trying to be the kind of parents that God would want us to be, that we should strive to raise our children the way God raises His children. And we find that God uses His grace to a large measure with us. And that as the Bible indicates, that we have been saved by grace, and that God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this world. God is such a wonderful, merciful God for us, and is so patient and so long-suffering with us. And we want to create an atmosphere in our home that is a Christian home, and where Christ is. And in order for that, we must strive. We need to strive to have an atmosphere of love and grace in our homes, so that our children understand that they are being raised in a way to honor God's principles of life. And I've tried to point out the fact, as we look at this, that we need to always be there for our children when they need us. And that is one of the keys of being godly parents, is being there for our children, being reliable, being faithful, and being merciful in the lives of our children. It's sad that many times today children are being neglected, and they live in a life as they are growing up that their parents are not there for them. Sometimes the father is not there. Sometimes the parents are busy with doing their own things, and a child is badly neglected. On the other hand, it's possible that that children grow up with harshness or rough treatment, and even abuse. It can be verbal abuse. It can be emotional, or it can even be physical abuse, and that is so tragic. Either way, for children to be neglected or to be subjected to some kind of abuse in the home, and our goal as parents is to raise our children as God says here in the book of Ephesians: "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And I pointed out last week that in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 22, Solomon said to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But that principle that Solomon is speaking about in the original language really carries with it the idea of understanding the individual bent or the individual personality of each child, and creating an atmosphere in our home that they're accepted, and that we may find that one child is very different than another child in how we must apply with them. One method may be effective with raising one of our children, and it may need to be a totally different method of how we approach them. Because our children are unique. They're different in it. But the goal is that as we raise them up, they will come to understand that God's principles are true for their life. That God is always there. That we are always going to be there for our children. And that there is grace in our lives. That God is a merciful God. He is patient with us. We make many mistakes, but we can come to Him and always find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. I have a quote here that Every boy or girl is in a fragile state of growth and change in their life. And that, I believe that is true, that our children are growing up and they have many fears. They have many insecurities as they are going out into the schools, or they are growing up and being around their friends. And they're going to need constant encouragement. They need our love. They need our support. They do not need our neglect or our harsh treatment of them. They need our patience and our understanding of how they are and how they are feeling as they are growing up. So that they grow up in that atmosphere of acceptance and encouragement, and seeing that the goal is serving God. I emphasize the fact that we need to give them our love unconditionally and always be pointing that the hope that we have is in Jesus Christ for our lives. That of a home in heaven, of eternal life, that God has given us His hope. And that our priorities in life, we need to have spiritual priorities. We need to be seeking how we can be pleasing to God and be able to put Him above everything else in our life that is honoring to God as we live our lives. And our children, we want them to be able to understand and see that. I love this verse that Jim read for us this morning in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 14 through 16. And the Hebrew writer there says, "Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We understand as adults, as we live our lives before God, how important this is, that we have an invitation here with God, with Christ, that we can come to Him with our struggles and with our needs in our life. And He's always going to be understanding. He's always going to be patient with us. Even when we have sinned before God and committed a wrong in His eyes, we still know that He loves us and we can come to Him and ask His forgiveness. And He is not going to turn us away. That is what our children need to be able to know in our home. That even when they have failed, even when they have done wrong, they can still come to us and be open about how they're feeling and what they are going through. And they're going to get a lecture. They're going to get understanding. They're going to be corrected in love, and they're going to be pointed in the way that they need to go and helping them to understand right from wrong. But when they come to us, we are not going to be of a condemning attitude to them, to where they will shut up their feelings and will not come and be open to talk with us about what they are going through. It's so wonderful, it's so encouraging when we know that we have a Christ, a high priest, that is this way we can come to Him. And we can talk about our sins, we can talk about our weaknesses, knowing that He will be compassionate, He will be understanding of those things, and He is willing to forgive us. God is merciful and God is patient with us. That's how we need to treat our children, in that same way, so that they will come to us when they are going through struggles in their life. And they're going to have many of them. They're going to have many times that they have a lot of fears. They have a lot of worries. They feel like someone at school maybe is picking on them. People don't like them. They're not accepted. They're not understood. We want them to understand they can always come and talk to us. And we understand and we're sympathetic with our children. And we can give them encouragement and support that they need. And if they fail, they're always going to be able to get forgiveness from us, just like God is with us. And so, as Christians, we want to live our lives. An example that we set with our children is like what we find in Christ. That we can come to Him at the cross and His death that He has died for us. He has given us the hope of our sins can be forgiven. And we're always going to find that encouragement when we come to Jesus. We want our children to be able to know that they can always come to us. And we are going to be there for them. So we need to treat our children the way that God treats us. And that should be our standard. We should try to set that as our standard of we are a Christ-like parents in their lives. An example of the kind of support that we find in God. Peter speaks about this in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says in verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And I want to emphasize that word all, casting all your care on Him. Because we can bring all of our cares to the foot of Jesus. God will be understanding of our struggles that we have. The temptations that we may be going through. The struggles, the failures, the sins that we are striving to overcome in our life. And yet we continue to struggle with those. And yet we can cast all our care upon Him. Our worries. Our anxieties. We know that He is understanding. And therefore He welcomes us. He invites us to bring those cares to Him. Because He's a God of grace. And He invites us to be close to Him in our hearts. To be open with Him. To share our struggles. And to know that He does not condemn us for that. He doesn't condemn us that we are weird. Why don't we get it? Why can't we overcome these things? He continues to understand that we have these weaknesses. In fact, in the book of Psalms, it says that He knows our frame, that we are as dust in His sight. God understands our frailties that we have as human beings. But He's patient with us. He's long-suffering. And that is an important thing for us to live that in the lives of our children, to be there for them. One of the supreme examples that we find, of course, is Jesus when He was on the cross. And when He had been nailed to the cross. And He had those nails driven through His hands and His feet. And yet, the words that He spoke that came out of His mouth was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." It's hard for us to even begin to fathom that kind of love that Jesus had. That he wasn't thinking about Himself and His pain and suffering that He was going through. In that moment, He was still concerned about others. That is the kind of God that we have, and that is the kind of parents we need to strive in our lives to be in the lives of our children. That they can see that kind of love in our lives for them. They want to be able to have the sensitive touch and acceptance of us as their parents. I can remember going to my mother sometimes when I would be going through struggles as a little boy, first grade, second grade. And I could go to my mother and she would put her arms around me and she would listen and she would give me encouragement. And that meant everything in my life to know that she was always going to be understanding and patient with me. And even when I really messed up, and got in trouble at school a few times, I still found that she would welcome me and hug me and give me that encouragement that I needed to help me get back on the right way of thinking in my life. That is such a blessing to know that we have a parent, a father and a mother that are committed to us as God is committed to us. Now, as we think about this in our lives, it does not excuse bad behavior in our children. It doesn't mean that we don't try to help them see that what they are doing, they need to do what God wants in their life. As I said before in Titus 2 and verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God is not a God who just overlooks our sin and tells us, that's okay, don't worry about it, it's no big deal. God wants us to live holy lives. But He understands that we are weak and that we struggle. And sometimes, even when we are seeking to follow Him, we still fail. He says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" God doesn't want us to live in sin. He doesn't condone our sin. As we saw in our lesson this morning in the Bible class, Jesus told the woman and taken in adultery, He said, "Go and sin no more." But He showed compassion to her. That is how we must be with our children as we strive to be examples to them of God's love. I think we can learn a great lesson from the Apostle Paul when we look in his life. The Apostle Paul was a great example of making his life committed to God and changing his life from his conversion to being a persecutor of the church to becoming an apostle to go out into the world and preach the gospel to the lost. And yet in his life, after the time that he made that commitment, think of all the hardships that he endured. Think of all the times that he was vulnerable to the enemy and to the persecutions that he had to face because of those that were hostile to Christ. And his commitment to go out into the world and carry the gospel to them. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul spoke there about his hardships that he often faced. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. And from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren." He goes on to describe these, how many difficult things he went through in his life. We would think, he's an apostle, he is one of the chosen men of God, and yet here his life had so many things like this that he had to endure. How did he survive that? How did he make it through in all of those tribulations that he endured? In chapter 12, he says here, beginning in verse 1, It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or not, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So Paul, in his life and as apostle, he was allowed to experience many things that ordinary people do not experience. He was in the body, out of the body at one point here. Some feel it was when he was stoned and left for dead outside of the city of Lystra. But he says that he was caught up into the third heaven. He was in paradise and he saw things that no man can see and live. He came back into this life. And he had to avoid being boastful of that. So he said in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me," here in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What was the point of that in Paul's life? Well, to me, the point of it was that he learned through those struggles that God wasn't necessarily going to take those struggles away from him. But he could always find grace with God and strength through that. He knew that God was always there for him, even though God wasn't always going to remove the burden. God would be there. And in that, he found his strength. And he said, "I rejoice in that. I actually rejoice in that, that I still have that thorn in the flesh. Because I can look at that and it reminds me of his grace. That I can always find that relationship that I have with God and depend upon that. That is more important than the thorn being taken away," is what he is saying. And what I'm saying is that that needs to be what our children see in our homes. They're sometimes going to come to us and they say, "Mom, you know, why does this other kid always pick on me? And why is it that people don't like me? And why do I have to go through this? Why can't I be like the other kids?" So we have to help them to understand, you know, it's just the way life is. But what we want them to understand is, "I understand the struggles you're going through. And I'm here for you. And you can always come to me and find encouragement. I'm going to always be here to encourage you and understand the struggles that you're going through." That's where our children are going to find the likeness of God in our way of treating and dealing with them as they're growing up. As I mentioned before, there are things in our children's lives that make them feel weak, that make them feel vulnerable. They all have these fears and anxieties as they grow through. But when we are there for them, these are not liabilities. These are opportunities for us to help our children grow in their faith, in their confidence of life, that God is true, God is faithful. Life isn't always going to be perfect. God isn't going to always take away the problem. He's going to help us learn to deal with it, learn to live and know that God is there and that we are going to be there for them. And through that, we can have a powerful impact for good in the lives of our children. Again, I want to remind us of that quotation that I mentioned earlier. Every boy or girl is in a fragile state of growth in their life. They're going through changes. They're growing from a little child up to a teenager. They're going up to the point they're going to be leaving home, getting married, going out into the world. Our goal is that they can be prepared, that they can go out there with knowing that God is the one they can depend on everywhere they go in life. That should be our goal, to instill that in their hearts. I remember several years ago, a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie and the commercials. I've always thought their commercials are really, really touching sometimes. And it was about this mother, older lady, gray-haired, you know. She opens the mailbox and there's a card. And she sees that it's from her son. And as she is going back in the house, she's thinking back and flashing back of scenes in his life. And he's falling off the bicycle and she's picking him up and holding him in her arms. And then he's going off to school and then he's, you know, graduating from high school. And he's walking down the aisle and getting married, and she is always there. And she opens up the card and it says, "Mom, I just want to thank you that you were always there for me." And it brings a tear in her eye when she thinks about that. It's a very sweet commercial. But I think about that when we think about how we are to raise our children. The fact that we are always there for them. They can depend upon us. They see in us the same kind of love and grace that God has shown to us. And that helps them develop their faith in God, which is the ultimate goal. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, we want to extend to you the invitation of Jesus this morning in your life to find refuge in Him, to find salvation in Christ, to come to Him who died for our sins and has provided for us the way of forgiveness, the way of salvation for us, and to continue on in our life, going to Him as our high priest, and being willing to open and share and confess our sins with Him, because we know He will always be merciful and gracious with us. If you're subject in any way this morning, we hope you'll respond. Come to the invitation of Jesus as we stand together and sing the invitation.
It is so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Just to